Official Us Podcast ASMR. Here we go, here we go. You can't even hear it, and you're like already. This is why we're popular!
Dias Parques! Dias Parques!
Sound of the PC police. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the beast.
That's not happening.
Yes, it is. It just did. What's up, everybody?
Aw, man.
That's how we started. That's how we started. That's how we started. That's how we started. Started, 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 started. Oh, oh. Oh, oh. Oh, oh. Well. Oh, okay.
Hi, everybody.
How's it going, everybody?
Welcome back to the Us Podcast.
Free from any audio fuck-ups. That's
yep.
My bad.
Chris is recording.
Yep.
Our mics rolling. Are facing us
facing
this time.
Facing right at us this time.
And I don't know what episode this is, but it's going to be...
11.
Oh, no, sick. This is not episode 11.
We're releasing 11 tomorrow.
I think this is going to be episode 13.
Sure.
If I remember correctly.
Sure.
Welcome to episode 13. Wow, we're more than halfway there.
And, what does that mean, halfway there?
Ooh,
I think we know.
We know what that
means. But do they know?
Oh, no. Now, it sounds like you're going to be the burpy one this time.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Get your burp counters.
Get your burp on. Anyways, hi, everybody. Thanks for tuning into the Us Podcast one more time. As always, my name is Angel Salinas. And, oh, Chris was...
I was... trying to subtly mime to you our intro that we forgot to do.
You know what? Fuck that intro. No, I'm just kidding. I like it.
Me too.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Us Podcast. A podcast about us. It's all of us, bro. And thank you again for stopping in on another week.
Glad to have you.
That was a fun intro.
Yeah.
Anyways, we are here in the lovely city of Southgate, like most of our episodes are in, drinking some drinks, hanging out with some friends. And what are we talking about today? We're talking about something a little, might, maybe, controversial.
PC culture.
PC culture. What does that mean?
It means pinche cabrón culture.
And
that's what I used to call my friend. But you know what's funny?
You used to call him PC?
I used to call him PC, because I used to have a Mac and he would have PCs. I used to call him a PC, and he like... Oh, why? For pinche cabrón, and then, you know...
That and you're like, no, you just have a fucking
you just
computer.
Have a shitty computer, yeah.
He's like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
PC culture, politically correct culture.
Political correctness,
yeah. And that's like, it's a very broad topic to talk about.
Yeah.
But me and Chris have very strong opinions.
That we do.
Usually, sometimes, kind of polarizing opinions.
Most of the time.
About the thing.
Oh, well, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Why? What's your... So, if you were to describe PC culture to someone, how would you explain it? Like, trying to be like, how do I say this? Without holding back. Holding back. Like, how would you just... Your purest definition of the word. Like, what do you think?
I just think, as the minutes go by, I'm slowly regretting suggesting this. But for me, PC culture is something that... I don't know. I don't really have a label for it. It's not really the culture that I have a problem with. It's just like the people who try to impose it. Mm. And like, it's like, here's the thing. I look at it as like religion. Like, it's fine if you believe that. I'm not going to like persecute you because you specifically believe that that's a thing to do. But if you're trying to force those ideals onto me, that's where we have some problems. That's like my view on it.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Well, see y'all next week.
Goodbye, everybody.
No,
Okay, just to give it context, we are drinking.
I kind of agree with your definition. Like kind of like religion. It's just like, it's fine if you believe it, but keep it away from me. But at the same time, I think PC culture and people that try to like put that on people aren't trying to do anything bad. They're just kind of trying to wake you up a little bit.
No, see, and I respect the way you do it. Because even though it does kind of get on my nerves sometimes, where like you're like, you correct me on something, I'm like, I know he means well, and I know he's not doing it just to be a dick. So I accept it, and I'm like, yeah, you're right. I'll use this word now. But
you still joke about it.
No, I know. No, definitely. Angel, okay, here's the thing. Angel is like the more PC conscious of us, but he will still indulge in a joke or two every now and then.
Yeah, only when we're not recording.
Yeah, when we're off the mic,
and when there's no one around,
where he can't look bad.
Yeah,
but no, I. Yeah, I forgot what I was going to say.
Perfect. Yeah, you just got to say some dumb shit sometimes, like to let it go.
Yeah.
But the difference is, like, we're on a platform now.
See, that's the thing. That is why I understand, and I get annoyed. I'm vocal about it, but I understand why Angel's a little bit more conscious of, like, hey, like, we have a platform now. We can't be saying like this, or be more conscious of this next time, or, you know, like with the past jokes we've made and all that.
Yeah, you never know who's listening, even in your normal life.
Like, right.
You can be talking shit, and someone standing right behind you is like, "Hey, buddy,
right.
What the fuck did you say? Did you just call me? Hey, guys, did you just say, hey, guys?
Yeah.
I'm gonna fuck you up, bro.
Right.
It's you all. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah, yeah. And it's funny because I've encountered a couple people who have like talked to us about the podcast, and they fit into like the category of like, this is gonna sound bad, but like the category that I call like softies, kind of, you know, and like I get it. I understand, like, when I see them and like they're like, dude, I love the podcast, I feel worse because I'm like, oh, like I hope I didn't, like when I'm talking to them, I'm like, oh, I hope I didn't say anything that offended you. Like I get really like when it's a face-to-face, because this is just, when we do this, I'm just looking at you, so I feel like I can just say whatever the fuck I want, but I forget that we put this out into the fucking internet,
and then someone's gonna be like, I can't believe Chris said that. And even me, like when I'll be listening to it, I'll be like, I can't believe Chris said that. How did I not hear it the first time?
It happens. But I wanted to talk about this just because, like, we, like you said, we have we have just different views on it.
We have different ways of thinking about it.
And I think it's cool for us to I really want us to dissect it and kind of get to the root of, like, why we do what we do. Because, like, the point of this is not for either of us to change opinions. It's literally we're just presenting our cases and then putting them back and being like, all right, that's why I do this.
What, have you ever had a time where you got really upset with someone trying to PC you?
It was never like, I've never had somebody try to like correct me, but I've had like, I've been in environments, and we keep referencing this film group, but it was in the film group where it's like,
I
because I was so loud and I guess abrasive, I was trying to be silenced, you know? And so like, I was like, that like made me a little uncomfortable because it's like, man, like I can't even be myself like in this group or whatever, you know? So I don't like it. I don't like, again, it's the same ideal like that I give about, that I used to give like in high school. I'm like, look, you know, I'm actually not going to bring that up.
Let me be dumb.
Yeah, no. It's not even like, let me be dumb. It's just that I'm comfortable a certain way. And my whole thing is that growing up, I've tried so hard to like fit in with different groups of people, and whether that be like, oh, this is in right now, so you have to like this, oh, I'm gonna like this. And so I decided to make a conscious decision, like especially after high school, that like I wasn't just gonna do something or jump onto to like a, I hate to call it a, like a trend, but right now it's kind of a trend, well, at least in like the mainstream media, to be PC or whatever, or like, because people will go after you if you're not. And I don't believe that I should jump on that train just because, like, that's the right thing to do at the moment. Because, like, many trends, like, it'll fade. There will still be a strong group of people that abide by it. But I think right now we're just kind of going through a weird... Especially after the Me Too shit. Like, we're going through just, like... I totally respect and understand. Yeah, hashtag Me Too. No, not We Are Me Too. Hashtag Me Too. So I don't want to just do it just to try to impress people, like, oh, look how woke I am, you know? Like,
I don't think that's why anyone does it, though. I don't think anyone's like, oh, look how woke I am.
There are people out there for
no
sure.
No one is walking around being
for
like,
sure.
No one's walking around being like, look how few people I offend in my daily life.
You don't
take pride in
that. You don't know that.
It's just a decent thing to do. as opposed to taking
pride. I agree
pride.
It's an easy thing to do, but there's more. There's people like specifically flexing on the gram, specifically like putting it out. Like, look how fucking like real I am. Racism is bad, guys.
Let's go back to that. You're making fun of someone saying racism is bad. What do you think, Chris?
It wasn't. Can think you it's say it again? It's terrible. I was just giving the example. It's like you're just stating things that are obviously. Yeah, no shit. Racism is bad. No shit. Like, don't be disrespectful to our demean
women.
Well,
you know what? Racist like, shit like, still
I
happens.
It's like I don't. Yeah, I know. I know it happens,
and that's
like,
why we got to keep saying racism is bad, because some people don't listen.
Yeah, but it's when people do it to pat themselves on the back that I get fucking annoyed. It's like when you see people post about, like, look, I fed a homeless man. They take a picture of him, like, where he's, like, half blinking or whatever. And it's like, Jesus, at least give him a solid picture if you're going to fucking flex for your likes, you asshole.
So you think people are being, what's the word?
I don't want to generalize. I don't think it's everybody, but...
But you think there's a group of people that are being inclusive... Because it gives them, like,
because
points?
They like the... Yes, because you win points with college kids. You win points with people that are, like, you know, that are in the woke division, you know. I really see it that way. And that's why I specifically, like... And here's the thing. I don't consider myself, like, woke. I'm very sleep, but... I'm very much sleep. But I am respectful. And I like... And I like when you... Yes, Angel, I am. I like when you challenge me with, like... Oh, say women instead of girls. I'm like, that's dumb, but okay, I'll try it. And you know,
well, that's not the attitude you should have.
No, but I like it because, again, I'm a person that likes to challenge myself. So if there's opportunities for me to, like, kind of like not be me for a little bit, I'm like, yeah, all right, I'll try that. I'll try to be more inclusive with, like, my stuff. But here's the
even
thing
though
too.
It's dumb,
even though it's stupid, I'll try it.
That's so counterintuitive to be
okay. Not the stupid thing.
Even
but
though this is dumb and I'm never gonna do it again, fuck it, I'll do it right now.
Well, would you rather I didn't do it at all?
I would rather you be open-minded.
I am.
Not when you're like, this is dumb, but
I'm not
okay.
Like that with everything. I'm like that with, like, things like the girl and women thing. That one specifically is like, that's really, like, nitpicky, but okay, I'll try that.
Would you get mad if someone called you a boy?
No. People have called me boy, and I'm like, I am a boy. I have a, like, it's between my legs. The thing between my legs proves that I'm a boy. Yeah, I'm a boy. Well, here's the thing. If I was... African American, if someone called me boy, that's a different story. I've seen that, and I've witnessed that firsthand, and that is a different different level of, like, offense.
I think, I don't know, some people might feel that the, like, girl is kind of like talking down to them, and I've had enough people tell me that to just
really
to just fix it, you know,
to tell us, because I'm not around people like that. Like, I'm just around I'm around Rosie all day.
Yeah.
She doesn't... My dog, my pug. Yeah. She doesn't really correct me on her pronouns. I want to know what it's like for you out there in the real world.
I just gave Chris the most, like... You, my look was just like, you fucking idiot.
She does it. She would if she could.
So funny.
It is. To all my immature listeners out there, I know you're giggling in your car to this. I'm doing this for you.
To all you Carmona fans out there, this episode's for you.
To Team Carmona, this is for you guys. All right, go ahead.
See, I think that's, like, step one. Don't joke about it.
Oh my god.
that is fucking step one, you ass. Like, take it seriously. Like, that
why
is that,
though? Why, do
why
I,
though? Because it's important to a lot of people.
I no, okay, I agree with that. But again, tell us the situation where you got called out or whatever.
Well, no, I didn't get called out. Just enough people have told me, like, this is the most simplest thing, but people make it so hard. Call people what they want to be called. And that's it. Like, that's all you gotta fucking understand. It doesn't have to do with you. It doesn't have to do with what you want to do. Call people what they want to be called.
But is that practical?
End of story.
But is that practical?
Who gives a fuck if it's practical?
What do you mean who gives a fuck if it's practical? What if you go to fucking New York, broke as shit, and no one is gonna be willing to call you by your pronouns if you're trying to get a fucking waitress job to make a living? You have to be able to deal with that shit.
Well, guess
it's like why I encourage bullying. It's like I think kids should be bullied so you can know that. Like, no, I encourage bullying. I encourage kids. I think kids should get bullied.
Say it one more time.
I think kids should get bullied because then you fucking know, like, yeah, there's fucking assholes out there, and I'll learn to deal with them my way. PC cop, PC police, open up.
That's a fucking train wreck. Oh my god.
All right. We said a lot of things we have to unpack.
let's dial it back a little bit.
I'm sorry. I'm super passionate about this shit.
Yeah. Okay, so you want me to tell you how it honestly feels like right now?
And I won't say a thing.
Okay.
For the Angel fans out there, I'll do you that favor.
It feels like you're mad because you can't do whatever you want. And that people are trying to mold you into like... It feels like... It sounds like you feel like everyone's trying to change you. Mm. And I guess they kind of are, but it's like, it's not a bad thing. Like, all people are asking is like, hey, can you call me by what I want to be called? And you're like, what the fuck? Maybe you should fucking get bullied a little more because you fucking can't take it, you fucking stupid bitch! And I'm just like...
Essentially.
And I'm just like, whoa. Like, calm down. And so I'm sitting here across from you, and I saw you just blow up for no reason, and I'm like, hey, maybe this pronoun thing isn't the real issue. Maybe there's some underlying things here.
There definitely are.
Yeah, that are like causing this this tension,
yeah,
for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
Because
go ahead, finish your thoughts.
Because again, when you really dial it back to what people are trying to do, it's just trying to tell people to call them by what they want to be called. Mm. It's not practical, and guess what? They've had to deal with that shit their entire lives. And now they've gotten to the point where they're saying, you know what? Fuck it. I'm not gonna be sorry, I burped. As always, they're getting to the point where they're like, you know what? I'm tired of what's the word? Of conforming. No, what's the word I'm looking for?
Dealing with.
I'm tired of having to settle for what is most convenient for everyone. If I don't like to be called that, I don't have to be called that. That's the decision people are making. And people, no offense, such as you, are kind of pushing back on that, being like, no, I've done this my whole life, and that's what I'm sticking to it, and you have to deal with that. Then you have this other people being like, well, I want to be called this, and you have to deal with that. And it's these two opposing forces where no one's moving, because one side doesn't want to change, and the other side doesn't want to... be called what they don't want to be called anymore. I think that's the issue.
Okay.
Let's all take a deep breath. Things were said. Chris condones bullying. I don't want anyone to forget that.
I'm not even going to argue against it because I kind of do. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Explain that.
All right, yes.
So no one listens to this and goes reports you to the police.
Why would they report me to the... Whatever. You know what's funny? I'm watching Angel and I'm so proud because I'm like, look at him, and I could see the wave of your listeners just being like in the car, nodding their heads like, Angel's speaking up for us.
Everyone's like, that's wrong.
And then everybody on my team are like, come on, Chris, get the fucking rebuttal ready. I see you, Chris, cooking it up. You're just like stewing the pot. Like,
come on, Chris, take your dick out right now and just fucking jerk off of this dude right now.
Put it in his mouth. Anyway. All right. That's so I 100% really truly, and I'm not even just saying this, when you put it that way of them having to like settle, I empathize with that, and like that makes you think like, all right, like I can see why that because they you're right, they're already dealing with it. It's not about making more, it's like I already have to deal with it. It's more like in this particular space I would like to be called as such.
Yeah,
here's my thing. It's so funny. I get really heated about this topic, and I get very excited because. But the thing is, it's all hypothetical. Aside from the film group we were in, I've never really had to be around people that have pronouns or whatever. So at the moment, I admit I am really just kind of talking out of my ass a little bit. But it's like. You know, like I told, like I think I even said this just right now. I'm kind of like fading away in my head.
Yeah.
I think I even said once I came face to face with people who like I could tell are like, you know, sensitive in that way, I immediately like got like, oh, like as a person, I'm like, oh, like they're like, oh, I love the podcast. I'm like, all right, I hope I didn't offend you at some point or whatever. I'm like, ah, you know. Again, but the thing is, right now, like for the meantime, here's the thing. Right now, 21 years old, I'm pretty much just here in my house all day. I don't have to be around people like that, so that's why I feel comfortable just being me. Now, granted, you know, I'm going to branch out at some point. I'm going to be working around more people, and I don't doubt that I'm going to be around people that are going to have that pronouns thing, and it's going to be like how you're dealing with that right now, because you're in CSUN, and you're in a place where like people are, you know, in that
higher education,
right? So maybe I will have to. It's not even, but at that point, it's just I'm doing it. But here's the thing: I'm doing it then. Let's say that's 2 years from now, right? That hypothetical. I'm doing it then. Because I choose to do it, not because society is like, you have to be this way. Like, because who am I? Like, I joked about the Rosie thing, but like, who am I really going to do that pronouns thing with? Her, my dad? Like, nobody here gives a shit.
Yeah.
And like, so I'm, it's more or less like, at the moment, I'm like, yeah, fuck that. But wait till I encounter somebody that I'm going to work with. Then maybe that can be more of a real conversation of like, all right, am I willing to do this as a human, or will I doubt that I will still be like ignorant about it.
It's all the environment that you're in. Like me and you on our daily basis are in two very different environments.
Right.
And I will tell you, I'm not going to sit on a fucking high horse or anything. I didn't start learning this until I went out of Southeast LA and was thrown into a more politically correct environment via Cal State Northridge. Like, that shit was, it was difficult, I'm not gonna lie. Like, it was hard calling people they and them, and it was hard using gender inclusive pronouns and shit like that, you know? So I'm not gonna be like, hurry the fuck up and do it, Chris. It's just like, just have that open mindedness. I think the thing for me that I sometimes get from you is that sometimes you're dismissive of the entire thing, and that's what kind of gets me heated a little
bit. I gotcha. Yeah, no, I definitely agree. The thing I would like to say, though, for all my non-PC brothers and sisters out there who are listening, because they're out there, and the thing is, there are people, like, you know, I'm the caricature version of, like, being against it, but there are really just some people who, like, I've talked, and we even had a conversation with a friend that I brought to a show once, who thought like, well, what's the, like, she's like, what's the big deal about like, and it was genuine. It wasn't like brash. It was just like, what's the big deal? Like, why do you have to call them by that? Like, it's so extra or whatever.
It was
like,
pure ignorance.
it was gentle ignorance.
But
that's the thing, though. It's like,
ignorance isn't ignorance is just the lack of information.
Yeah. And the thing is, I think for anybody that is PC that's listening, because I know you're out there, and first of all, thank you for listening to the show, and thank you for dealing with me. But here's my thing, and this is coming from someone who doesn't consider themselves PC at the moment, and I say that a bunch. Allow the evolution. Again, you know, like, the big part of life is that we're always growing. So the person I am today isn't going to be the person I am 5 years from now. Recognize that. I understand where the anger comes from, but like, everybody just settle down. It's like, look, it all depends on their demeanor. If there are people that are like me that like accept and acknowledge that they're pretty problematic, but do see themselves at some point coming to a change when the environment necessitates it. Because how stupid and how like bad would it look? How bad would I feel being in an environment where I'm around people like that, trying to work with them professionally? And I'm just like, at that point, just like, purposefully, like, I'm not gonna call you that because that doesn't, like, that's a different type of,
you're like, hey Chris, I want to be called this, I don't care.
Yeah, that's a different type of like hate and disrespect. I think just at the moment I'm speaking because I haven't left my nest yet.
I think so too,
more or less, to speak, you know, when it comes to it, because I do have a huge respect for like people, you know, especially if they want to be called whatever they want to be called, you know. I'm like 100% certain I will adapt, because that's just the right thing to do at that point. But I guess the thing is, just allow the evolution, guys. Like, if you can tell that they're trying to change, you know, allow them to build up to that. Don't get so mad if they like fuck up. It's like, you know, like, they're working with you to get out of their comfort zone. So work with them. It's a team effort. It's like you said, right now, it's like, people, it's like a tug of war where, like, nobody wants to back down. It's just like, you know, like, think about what you're doing.
Put the rope down.
Put the rope down and just talk about it. Yeah. That's it.
And don't kick anyone out of your film group either. Damn.
Yes.
No! Bitch. You shouldn't have said that.
Fuck you.
I'm wearing that to get it.
Sorry.
Oh my god. No. Well, okay, look. I'll say this. Let me elaborate on that. I think you spoke, like, I think I agree with everything you said. But also just, like, acknowledge who you are and what you do. And if you, I don't like people that are just like, yeah, I'm a fucking asshole. That's just who I am, you know?
Yeah. Because here's the thing. Like, yes, for some people, it is hard to not be an asshole because it's very much a mental thing. But like I was telling you the other day, there's no such thing as asshole cancer. You can definitely try to stop being a jerk.
Oh, yeah,
you can definitely try. Yeah. It's not. It's going to take a lot more effort than most, but you can definitely try. It's just a matter of if you're willing.
You just got to accept that, like, hey, maybe I'm being a jerk. Maybe I'm being an asshole.
Yeah.
So, yeah. How do you feel?
I feel great. You know what? It's so funny. Like, I really wanted to, like, have more negative things to say, but, you know.
I'm such a good...
At the end of the day, I do... Especially this year, like, I just, if we would have done the show a year ago, this would have been a totally longer, different conversation of you and me just fighting about, it's the right thing to do. No, I don't want to do it. But I understand, like, I can't, like, I just can't find that new instinct in me that's just like, yeah, I fucking empathize. Like, I get it. You know, like, it's, you know, people it's fucking disrespect you all the time. Like, yeah, but, like, at the moment, I'm not going to do it just because I'm not around that. But wait till I start, you know, meeting people that fucking appreciate the show or my work or whatever. And they're in that category of
will
people.
Will you do it if someone asks you to?
Of course I will. Okay. I've never denied that. I've never denied that. It's just more like I'm not going to do it voluntarily. And I know that sounds bad too, but that's just me.
It's a hard thing to get used to.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. And if you make, I will tell you this, if you make the effort to do it, you'll get it eventually.
And that's it.
This
is why we do the show, guys. Yeah. And look, it literally.
Yeah. I'm gonna look at everybody.
It took. Let me see. It took 29 minutes for me and Angel to kind of come to terms with that decision. And see, if any of you guys out there have people in your life that you really appreciate, but they just won't get, you know, the picture. It took Angel and I 29 minutes.
Yeah, just sit down and have a conversation.
There it is.
I will say, like, don't let your problematic friends, like, escape your grasp, I guess. Like, don't let them call them out, but don't pass out flyers at a show calling them out, you know? Like, sit down and fucking talk to them and be like, hey, yo, what you say or what you do is kind of fucked up to not only me, but like maybe all these other people. And if they're just like, well, I don't give a fuck you, you should get bullied. Maybe.
I really think that they should.
Yeah. Like, then there's no reaching people like that. But if they have generally want to have like a conversation about like, oh, I wasn't aware of what I say, or like, oh, I don't see the big deal in what I say, sit down and have a fucking conversation and try to hash that shit out. Me and Chris did, and now we're the best of friends.
Yeah, look at that.
Yeah, and then hopefully one day we'll come back and Chris is gonna be like, hello everybody.
We're talking to a guest and her pronouns at the moment are they and.
Oh, is this really? Bad? Is this bad? Am I doing? I realize as I'm doing chicken arms and using this voice, and just looking at me like, "Are you done?" I'm like, "Ah, this is probably bad, isn't it?" Well, I'm not all the way there, guys.
Hey, man, this is half of your podcast too. So, so what you do is what you do. But don't. And then Chris comes, like, this episode airs, and Chris just like, "Why did no one say anything nice to me anymore?"
I wonder why I don't get any nice DMs.
Yeah, it's just like, man, my friends suck. They only tell you nice things. Man, no fair. Everyone's against me.
Okay, I have my Angel impersonation. Is that yours?
Yeah, that's
is
like,
that your Chris Carmona
like
impersonation?
Chris, just like, yeah, that's pretty much.
And then, dude, oh, I don't think anybody's heard my Angel one yet.
You don't understand. You can't be disrespectful like that, guys. Be nice to women. It's women, not girls, okay? You gotta understand that. Don't say that. I love Seinfeld, all right?
I love you.
Hey, what's up, fuckers? It's Chris Carmona.
What is the
this episode, man. What are we doing?
And there you go. Me and Chris did a fucking Freaky Friday for for 5 seconds.
We traded lives.
But damn. Yeah, I think, well, I think we came to, I think you said in the beginning when we started, I don't think we're going to change opinions.
No,
but
no,
I think
no.
We
it's
just
presenting
wanted to,
cases.
Yeah, it's just put shit out there and just come to a respectful conclusion with ourselves and each other and stay friends. And you see, I could have been like, you know what, Chris? I don't fucking agree with you. I'm fucking out of here. But I didn't. I didn't do that because I was like, that's not going to help me nor Chris.
Yeah.
So just talking about it and...
Yeah, sorry. And I think that's a big part of one of my issues with PC culture, aside from like the specifics, is just like there's like just that me versus you kind of mentality. And I feel like that's the thing. Like, we've had guests before, people tell us, like, oh man, everybody sucks and this and that. It's like, well, yes, if you're thinking that way, that everybody sucks, then you're only allowing everybody sucks kind of people to come into your life. Now, see, if you approach a conversation as touchy as this one with like, all right, I have my beliefs and I believe in them. I'm not going to try to change them just to try to appease the person I'm talking to. And hopefully we can kind of come to a mutual understanding. And I'm honestly surprised it came as quick as it did for you and me.
Yeah, I think it's, I think it all comes down to like, accept that people think differently than you because they've been exposed to different things and not everyone is at the same level at the same time.
Right.
It's ridiculous to sit down 15 people in a room and just be like, all right, everyone, this is how we do things and say things. And if you don't like it, you can get out.
Yeah, that's really a big reason too why we're having a fucking country divide, because like we're not listening to those people that we make fun of in the middle of the US. Like, ah, who cares about them? But they've been so dismissed for so long that they're like, you know what, our conservative beliefs have been shit on for so long that like, fuck you guys.
Yeah,
so like,
fuck you.
That's the problem. Like, that's, we nobody's willing to listen.
I don't want to listen.
Yeah,
fuck you, whitey.
Wow.
I said that.
All right. That's a whole other thing we can dig into another
time. Speaking of Whitey, how do you feel
about movies?
The one thing I did want to bring up like right away about movies is how do you feel about this thing that happened a couple years ago where Spike Lee told Quentin Tarantino that he can't use the N-word as much as he does?
This is amazing. We're talking about this. Say it again.
How do you feel about how Spike Lee told Quentin Tarantino a couple years ago, like, you can't use the N-word like that much, or like the way you do it isn't okay? And you know what Quentin said?
That he's short or something. He did say that though.
Did he?
He's like, that little guy?
Oh my God. No, Quentin Tarantino responded with like, that's racist. You telling me I can't write something because of the color of my skin is racist.
Hmm.
How do you feel about that?
Well, first of all, I love him. but I will say, I remember when I heard that, again, I think when this news came out, this is when Django was happening. Definitely. Because I was like, I'm not going to go see Django. I don't know why he used a Donald Trump voice. He's like, I'm not going to go see Django. And then Quentin was like, well, fuck that little guy. And I was like, yeah, fuck that little guy. But as I got older and I revisited that, like, that thing, I can see where Spike Lee is coming from. When the N-word is used in Reservoir Dogs and Pulp Fiction, specifically in Pulp Fiction, where Quentin Tarantino's flat out saying, does this look like dead neighbor storage? I don't think this looks like dead neighbor storage.
It's like, why did that have to be in
there? It's like, why did you... okay, as a diehard Quentin lover, that even then, as a 14-year-old, I'm like, did you need to use that word?
Yeah.
But for Django, I was like, dude, I'm like, but here's the thing. Like, I know he can't, you can technically dance around that word for that specific, but like in that particular project, I think it was necessary. For Hateful Eight, it's necessary. Again, not for the modern movies like Reservoir Dogs and Pulp Fiction, but to me, that is why I think he gets the most ridicule for that. Like, Quentin Tarantino loves the N-word. Because like, it's those first two movies where, like, it takes place in modern setting and it's white people using it. It's like, yeah, all right, you know,
but
like...
The thing is, I don't know how I feel about the movie with the most N-words belongs to Quentin Tarantino.
I hear what you're saying. And I want to talk to you about something, too, because... It's wonderful that we brought up the N-word, especially in PC culture and films, because... And I want to tell you this too before I send you a script and you yell at me.
Yeah.
All my life,
growing up in school, growing up with guys, we use the N-word, not the E-R, the one that ends with the A. We use it all the time. We used to, like, but it was never, like, and I'm just going to put it out there, like, you can say whatever you want. Like, it's true. Like, that's just our culture. We would say, like, yeah, neighbor. Like, it's like, hey, like, neighbor, what? It's like stuff like that where it's like, but why I bring this up is because at some point I would like to put that in a movie. In a movie where, like, I'm talking about the particular culture that I grew up in, because, like, there are brown people, even to this day, 6ix9ine does it, fucking yeah. Lil Pump does it in the yeah. new song I Love It, like, he says the N-word in front of Kanye, yeah. and so that's like
Fat Joe does it, and he's white.
Okay, I don't know about that, but, you know, I don't know who Fat Joe is, but
no, he's not.
He's Puerto Rican? We're hearing from Jonathan Justin Jimenez. Our correspondent. We're hearing from our correspondent.
Yeah. Justin Hold Jimenez, on, let me Jonathan Justin Jimenez, can you confirm Fat Joe's ethnicity,
please? Can you check our stats?
I'm pretty sure he's a white guy, but correct me if I'm wrong. Anyway, we're going to continue.
Yeah, yeah. No, and
I completely agree that where we grew up in Southeast LA, that shit was just a thing people say, and they still say it to this day.
And it was never derogatory. It was just like, we don't have a word that, except for foo, I guess, but it doesn't have the same coolness.
It's because we hear it in our rap songs. We see everyone say it, but that's still not a reason to say it.
Yeah.
But people still do it because...
Definitely.
Hold on, pause. So yeah, confirmed Fat Joe is Puerto Rican and Cuban descent.
Wonderful.
Still says the N-word.
Yeah.
And he gets a lot of passes from everybody. So does 6ix9ine, so does Lil Pump. They're all Latinos, and they get the N-word passes. It's fucking weird. It's something I don't understand.
And I was listening Logic. To... No, he doesn't use N-word, does he? Oh, well, he's part Sometimes, black. He's part black, yeah. But that's the thing. I think it's so funny that... And I understand why, but to me, like, the thought that, like, one word warrants you to be like, no, I have this much of black enemy. It's like, oh, okay, you're good to use that word. It's just like, but the thing is, like, I'm glad you brought that up, because there are scripts that I plan on, like, incorporating that, and I have kind of, I'm like, you know what? It's not for this one. Like, and it's not that, like, I'm worried about the public perception, but it's like, this is not the project particularly to include that word. But there are at some point, and I want to know, like, how you felt, like, how you would feel if you ever saw that in my writing. Because why I do it, you know, it would be for comedic reason, because, like, that's how we would use it in the culture. But it's also more like, this is what I grew up with, and I don't want to, like, and I want people to know, like, yo, yes, this is not the word to use, but people use it anyway. Before you say anything, there is a scene in Good Time. I don't know if you remember. But the white, the big dude, one of the white big dudes, he says, "What happened to your face, N-word?" And
the guy at the end, right?
Yeah. And I was like, that's just so, like, thrown in there, but it felt so real. Yeah, you can know?
Tell, he was the Fat Joe of that movie.
Right. So I was going to say, like, how would you feel if you ever saw me send you a script and, like, that was in there?
Here's what I would say, and this is what I do with every script I write. I always think, is this doing more harm than good? Mm. With everything I write, with everything I create, I think if I put this out there, regardless of what my intentions were, is this going to make my community or the people I'm representing look good or look bad? That's all I do. I would not make a script where my characters were saying the N-word if they were Latinos, even if I saw a bunch of kids do it, because you know what? Kids are going to watch that movie or whatever I create and then feel
validated.
Yeah, validated in their use of it. It's like, hey, you wrote this movie about it, and then you could say, yeah, but I don't agree with it, but it's just how I was, it's just the community that I was.
That's a good
it's
way
like, well, I'm the community, so I'm going to say it because you obviously wrote about it and you put me on that screen. So now I have a reason to say it. That's how I feel.
The
same way, yes, people ride lowriders. I don't want to see anyone in lowriders in my movies. Mm. Yes, people are fucking dumb gangsters. I'm not going to have any dumb gangster drug dealers. Well, sometimes, but, you know, there's these things that, yes, it's part of our community, but how do we talk about it and how do we represent it in a way that's doing more good than bad in the way we represent it?
It doesn't matter to you to just present it for what it is and, like, let the action, like, this was the big criticism for The Wolf of Wall Street. They said, oh, they're glorifying the excess. It's like,
they were.
Yes, but they're also, like, you see how badly it ends for everybody. So it's like, but are they, though? Like, in the filming of it, like, kind of for entertainment's effect, but you see how it fucks with everybody.
Yeah, but I would say if you watch Wolf of Wall Street, everyone wanted to be Jordan Belfort. Nobody was like, "Nah, I wouldn't go through all that." It's like everybody wanted to be Jordan Belfort.
Well, I'm glad you're talking about this too, because as someone whose favorite movie that is, yeah. I wanted to be Jordan Belfort in the way he communicated with people. The scene where he's doing coke, I was like, "Ugh, yikes." The scene where he punches his wife in the stomach, I was like, "Ugh, not good." Where he fucking backs out of the garage and like all that shit. I like what he does professionally. Everything else, I'm like, I wouldn't do that. I think maybe that's just because I'm just a specific type of just like rational person. But why I think it's important, you know, because you had a great argument about like kids might see something like Latinos using that and be like, hey, you know. But once again,
hey, I can do that,
right? But once again, those are kids. You know, like, you're not just making movies for kids. You're making them for adults, too. And, like, I think kids won't understand this. I mean, kids can see movies. Here's the thing. You can use that argument with black people, too. There's Friday, and kids will watch that and quote, like, oh, they use it, and they're from the hood, kind of, like me.
No, but so, it's like, if I was a black kid watching that movie, I'd be like, I would, and like they can do it because they're black.
But you don't think people from our culture like adopted that word they saw black people?
That's why they do it.
Exactly. Can't really avoid that, is what I'm saying. You know what I mean? But
here's the thing. You show black people saying the N-word, and a Latino boy sees that, he should not feel validated to use it because he's not from that culture. If the Latino boy sees a movie with a Latino saying the N-word, then he's gonna feel even more validated to say it.
But they get that either way. And I'm not gonna oppose your view, but like, why I would definitely
some people would argue let's stop using it altogether.
Right? Yeah, I know there's definitely that. Like Oprah, it's like doesn't use that word at all. Yeah, like she's like totally against that. Imagine that'd be cool. Like she drops it. Sorry, it's got to be a little bit of me in here somewhere.
Yeah, throw some Chris in there.
but and I'm letting everybody know. And you know what? I'll even dissect, not the entire thing, because I don't want to ruin it. But in one of my movies, there is a character that I want to, and this is going to open the movie too. I want a Latino character to be like, hey, like there's a waiter that gives him food and he's black. And then he goes like, hey, should I say, hey, thanks, my N-word? And then the brother goes like, no, don't do that. And, you know, like an angel character. And like the point is to hammer home the idea that like we keep wanting to use it, but like the joke is that like this particular guy who wants to like normalize that word, every time he tries, he gets his ass kicked. You know what I mean? Like, so like he keeps like trying to hammer the point, like, yeah, I can say it, and he tries it, he gets his ass kicked. Tries it, gets his ass kicked. And then I guess this kind of ruins it, but you know, nobody will know the movie. This is gonna be like years into the future. And then at the end, he's all beaten up. And the one, and like he tries it one more time, and the bro's like, you're already fucking like ruined. And like this one person just kind of lets him slide and be like, oh yeah, yeah, it's this. And then he starts, and then like the guy, like that the guy who's been using and gets his ass kicked out the movie, he starts crying. And like that would, to me, like that would be like, you know, like some people can get away with it, some can't. Maybe you'll get that one that doesn't even like maybe even particularly hear it, but yeah, that's how I would use it.
If that's what you want to do, fuck it. I wouldn't do it. And I would probably watch that and be like, if you showed me that script, I'd be like, Chris, you know what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
I like the idea of showing showing a character doing something that's not okay and getting like his comeuppance, I guess. I can't think of the right word.
Right, yeah, no.
But it's like how we had that discussion about Blind Spotting, how Miles, the white character in the movie, does all this shitty activity throughout the entire movie. And even though he doesn't say the N-word, does a lot of other racist shit and a lot of culture appropriation shit, and he never gets checked for it. He never pays up for like all the shitty things he does in the movie. So that, to me, and to a lot of other people, that's the filmmaker letting all that behavior slide. All his shitty activity towards women, towards people of color, towards his community, all that shit is let slide because he doesn't get checked for it at the end of the movie.
Yeah, so then that means, to me, it seems like you're not very open to satire. You're just more like, it's this and that. You're not, like, because again, like, things are open to interpretation. Like, yeah, some people can definitely see it that way. And I know you've kind of come to see that character that way too. But again, like, I think it's all about, to me, all that matters is the filmmaker's intention. It's like, this is what I intended to do. You can't necessarily control what the public, how the public perceives it. Cause that's just like we said, but like taking it back to the first beginning of this episode, everybody has different experiences of how they see things. And it's more like, this was my intention. And if you just saw it as like me, like for Quinn, like, this is what I intended to do with this script. And if everybody's perception is that just that I love this word, fine. But this is the honest to God truth of why I put this word into this, because this is the culture I'm from or whatever. And so, you know, it's out there now.
Well, see, I don't agree, because right. I will throw this argument at you. What if the filmmaker who made your favorite movie, Peppermint, was like, hey, I just wanted to make a movie about a mom who gets revenge for her daughter, who she loves so much. I'm sorry that the people that happened to kill her daughter are Mexican, but that's just the reality. And that's what the reality I'm portraying. Mm. But then someone like you watches it and you're like, this is so blatantly racist. I can't believe this was made.
I wouldn't have a problem with that movie if it came out in 2005, because that was a different time. It came out in 2018.
But
the thing is, people are still dropping N-bombs in 2018. Nobody's like, I think, thankfully, even though I'm annoyed of it, Hollywood is slowly detaching from the lowrider, hey, what's up, foo, kind of Mexican thing. And so for a movie to be like, no, that's still happening, it's like, no, it's not. Like, we're leaving that. And the thing though too is like the N word, like in particular, it's empowering for some, like, and it's heavy in our culture. And I know we're kind of making this about the N word now,
yeah.
But it all comes back down to
it all comes back to being told what you can and can't write.
Right,
I think
right.
And so, how would you react if a fellow black filmmaker read your script and was like, "I have a problem with these certain scenes that you just spoke about"? How would you approach that conversation?
Well, that's a great thing. Again, it's great that you're on point as always.
Thanks.
I like that particular script that I would include that character in. I would want to hand it off to somebody that's black. Just be like, not necessarily for their approval. You know, like, you speak for all black people, so I'm going to have you read this.
But yeah, that's problematic.
But it's more like, what do you think? As someone that I respect, like, what do you think of the script? And particularly, how'd you feel about this? And, you know, again, we're going to cross that bridge when we get there for that particular character. But, like, say if it was a negative reaction, right?
Yeah.
I would just work. I would work because I really want that in there. And mostly, and I'm not going to lie, it's mostly for comedy. But it's also, like, I love satire. I love it. Like, one of my first projects is a parody of Uptown Funk, but like about how like nobody gives a fuck about Santa Claus anymore. And then you see him trying to conform to like the normal beauty standards, and then he fucking starts overdosing, and then like he dies. And I like criticizing like things in the popular culture. So that's just me. But if there were a black filmmaker or like person that I really respected, depending, who didn't like that character, all I would do is just to work more at hammering my point to the point where I'm like, I cannot write this any better to illustrate what I believe is my point across with this character. And if people have a problem with that, like, I'm just going to let that be the problem.
So I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Sure.
If this person was just like, my problem is that I don't want this character to say the N-word, period. And if you do, I have a problem with it. That's my only problem.
Don't go see my film.
Dang. Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair, I guess. I don't know if I agree, but that's...
No. I know you don't, and that's fine. Like, that's... You're
ready to catch flack for it.
Because I've made my intentions clear. Like, even fucking years before I make this thing, I'm making it clear right now, this is what I'm trying to do with it. And it's just like, this is like... Like, I think it's all... Here's the thing. I think it's important to criticize the problematic elements of our childhood, but it's also kind of nice to embrace it, because we all grew up with that. We grew up with brown people saying the N-word. Like, to this day, it amazes me. Like, I'm not PC, but I kind of get like a little angel inkling whenever I see in 2018 a brown old friend of mine like say N-word, what? I'm like,
Yeah, I'm like,
hey, like don't do that. Like, publicly, don't do that.
I'll say this, so it's on record. I would only be okay with that character if you made it a point to say his behavior is not okay with me. Like, that's the only, like, that's the only way. If at the end I feel like you think that kind of stuff and that kind of behavior is okay, then I would be like, why did you do that? Like, why didn't you have a more firmer stance and let us know, hey, I don't agree with this, but I'm also not going to shy away and say it doesn't happen. You know, that's how I would say. Because yes, there's some ugly sides to our community. There is cholos, there's drug dealers, there's statutory rape, there's teachers having sex with kids. Like, there's all these fucked up things that happen in our community. And to just like take all those things away because, oh, I don't want to, like, the public shouldn't see that. I think it kind of like sanitizes.
You're cheating the people out of like the truth.
Yeah, it sanitizes where we came from. It's like, we're the good and the bad of our community. But as long as you don't encourage
that. That's a great stance. Yeah.
I think that's when it's okay. If my hero was a teacher that had sex with his kids, then I think we have a problem.
Right.
And, whoo. That shit happened in Bell, like, a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know how Maywood went. You heard all the way from Maywood?
No, I heard Maywood had that, but it was never with students. It was just like teacher. I remember there was a teacher who confessed to a student, like, oh, I cheated on my husband.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. I was like, why would you tell it to a student, you idiot? I found out. I never had you as a teacher.
Like, during lunch?
Yeah, during lunch, because like, it was a student that you would hang out with.
Whoa.
Yeah.
He's like,
I'm not going to say what subject, because I think that's touching. But,
oh, my God.
But Charlie, if you're listening, you know the fuck I'm talking about.
Damn.
Should we take a little breather?
Yeah, fuck it.
Let's take a breather, guys.
When we come back...
Well, I just hope you guys have been enjoying like the contrasting views and like... I like that Angel is here. You know what it is? Angel, especially because he's older than me too, he's really molding me as a person. Like, I'm a big ball, like, mess of clay. And even though I want to stay a certain way, Angel will like smack the clay a little bit. And I'm like, all right, I'll accept that one because that one helps me. Yeah, and it molds me a little bit. And I like that. In slapping me and putting me to like the person that I will become, he also sees, like, I can understand why he's like this, though. Like, I can understand why he's this big mess of clay. Like, yeah, I see that, but still, bam, you know?
Like, the only reason I'm still here doing this podcast is because Chris, like, has respect for me and my views as much as I have respect for him and his views. Like, if Chris was just like, well, you're fucking stupid for what you think, and I don't care, I'm gonna have all my characters say the N-word, I don't give a fuck. then I would be like, okay, maybe I don't want to do this podcast with this dude anymore, you know? But like, we've accepted a long time ago that we have different opinions because we come from different places and we're all in different parts of our lives. Of course we're gonna be fucking different. Of course we're gonna think differently. But the whole point is, if you can treat people that think differently than you with respect and learn to listen to their side and maybe take some things with you from that conversation, that's the fucking important part.
Mm.
And as long as you just keep an open mind and don't just fucking stick your fingers in your ears and just be like, I'm going to stay the same all my life, I don't give a fuck what you think, then what's the point, you know?
Yeah.
So hopefully y'all learned a little bit from our little discussion. We're going to take a little break. As always, we're going to come back with some hot recommendations to kind of chill out and cool off after this heated, heated discussion. See you soon.
Takes over the norm.
I hate gays!
One man will fight them all in a new film called...
I hate black people!
I hate black people. Directed by Quentin Tarantino.
Script by Chris Carmona.
Welcome back, everybody. We're back from our break.
Oh my God, we are back from a very needed breather break from a very heavy topic, and it's just like
I had a great time
talking. Yeah, about me too. Emotions ran wild. I was just telling Chris, as well as the audience we have here, our live studio audience, that it was the loudest I've ever been on this podcast.
Oh yeah,
and it was
you peaked for the first time.
Yeah,
it was like damn.
Yeah,
and you know what's funny? It's technically not even Angel. He was just pretending to be me. Yeah,
I'm only loud when I pretend to be Chris. Because any other way, I wouldn't need to yell. But with Chris, it's just like I can't get my point across unless I'm screaming it. Anyway, that's my recommendation for the week. Disturbed. No, I'm just kidding. As always, we like to let our hair down in this last segment and just give a little recommendations. Kind of go away from the heavy topic that we talked about the week and just kind of like shoot the shit, let loose.
Yeah. I'm very happy. Like, I feel like this almost, I feel like this should be like the season finale of ours, because like it feels like everything builds up to this. Yeah, it's like,
where do we go from here?
I don't know. But I'm really glad we had this conversation, because like we've been teasing it since the beginning. Like, we'll get into the PC thing later. We'll get into the PC. Yeah. And it's like, we're here.
Every episode has like foreshadowing. Yeah. I love it. It's like, oh, we're going to get to that. Guess what? We did.
And we just did. So here we are.
But other than PC culture, have you been enjoying anything else?
Yes, definitely. Definitely.
Start us off.
All right. My first recommendation, this is something that, and it's funny, this actually beautifully or not beautifully ties into the whole PC theme. I fucking love Entourage. Oh my God. I started on it last week. I'm on the fifth season and I'm in for it. I'm like, yeah, it's a man's world.
Is anyone surprised by that recommendation?
Oh my God. If you can get HBO Go, guys, watch Entourage. It's fucking awesome.
You're telling me this is a show about 8 powerful white men? Hell yeah.
It's just, dude, it's pure escapism. I'm like, this is like,
let's not make fun of it for a little. Tell me why you like it.
No. I'm telling you, like, okay, it's pure escapism. Like,
in what sense?
In the fact that, like, you know what's funny? Like, you know when you talk about shows, you go, oh, it's really well written. It's really this. It is well written, but that's not why I watch it. I watch it because, like, I'm like, in a less offensive, and this is true, like, for as much as I like to say that I'm, you know, an offensive person, in a less offensive way, I would like to live this life. Like, because, like, they talk about, like, making movie deals, and, like, you see when shit gets, like, intense, and, like, oh my God. But I contradict myself when I say my favorite character on that show is Ari Gold, perhaps the most offensive character on that show, who's, like, outright racist, sexist, ageist, everything is, but everything he says that's terrible kills me, and I rewind it and he says the terrible thing again and I'm dying. And the thing is, whether it was, because I know if you were to ask the Entourage filmmakers today, like, was all that satire, were you criticizing those behaviors? Like, definitely we were no way condoning that. We were like, and they'd probably be lying, but I look at it as like, dude, like, this is incredible satire. Like, they have Harvey Weinstein, like, and it's funny, like, they have
he's in the show.
Not the guy, but they have like caricature. Like, they have a caricature of him. They call him like Harvey Weingart or something.
No way.
But, and like, he goes to Sundance, and they call him Harvey Scissor. If you have any knowledge of the business, you know that's supposed to be Harvey, like, with how, like, fat and abrasive aggressive he is. And it's, like, so weird, like, how even back then they saw him as, like, this monster, but they never chastised him. It was just this is just how he is. This is the business, you know?
Yeah, sadly.
It was never, like, that's wrong, and, like, he's a terrible... It was just like, he's a terrible person. It's funny.
It was a movie... It was a plot device.
Exactly. And it's... Here's the thing. Even if you're someone that gets offended easily... I recommend you watch it, because look at how much people were able to get away with back then compared to now. It's like, I look at the show, I'm like, yo, like, I love it, but, like, you could not make a show like this today. Even with fucking The Office, remember that character Michael Scott has called Ping?
Oh,
It's like that air. I looked at that. In the first season, he, like, puts on glasses with squinty eyes and he has, like, buck teeth. Hi, I'm Ping. And I'm like, yo, that aired on national television. And, like, it
if for nothing, watch it as like a, yo, this is where we're coming from. And like, somebody made the argument that like, isn't it sad that, I think you brought this up. You brought this up when we were talking the other day.
Oh yeah, we were.
Our whole foundation of our whole platform of our whole
film.
Of film is the foundation of that is a racist movie, Birth of a Nation.
Mm-hmm. Like that's where everything's built on. Every single like film, like fucking motif, everything came from fucking Birth of a Nation. And so if that's our history, like it's pretty fucked up. That's what we're all standing on.
The beautiful thing about it, though, is to see how far we go.
Yeah.
And even though I enjoy Entourage for its terrible things, I do watch it. Like, and you're rubbing off on me in this way, where I watch it, I'm like, you know, like, I'm glad we're not like that anymore. Yeah. I'm glad we don't glorify, as much as I do love them, I'm glad we don't glorify white people shenanigans like that mm-hmm. anymore. You know, we don't take it.
I think it's okay to, in like... We've had this conversation before where like I've told you I watch comedians that say some horrible shit, but it's like it's fun to hear that shit.
Yeah.
Because it's like holy shit, he said that in this climate? Whoa. Wow. And that's all like that's all you can
say.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
But Entourage.
Entourage is my recommendation.
Nice. How long do you think it's going to take you to finish it if you're already on
season 5? I'm already on season 5. I'm probably done by the end of the week.
Yeah, it's Sunday.
I swear it's fucking up my sleep schedule. I'm awake till 4 in the morning and I have to tell myself like, I have to go to sleep. I have to. I need to. I'm tired. My eyes are burning, but I can't stop.
But Entourage.
But Ari Gold. Anyway, you're back. I'm throwing it back to you, Angel.
All right. Recommendation. I'm going to recommend a song I have been playing over and over and over again. And Chris has already heard it. It's called Slow Dancing in the Dark by Joji.
Hell yeah.
Oh my God.
Great
and
song.
And I will also shout out that music video because it's fucking beautiful. And everything about that song is fantastic. I play it all the fucking time. It's like, I don't know if you ever find a song where you're just like, I can't stop listening to it. And it makes me feel some type of way. Every time I play it, it's just like very sad, very moody, but very emotional, just fucking ballad pretty much. And I got the pleasure of seeing Joji live.
You did? Oh
yeah, at this he's part of this label called 88 Rising. Uh-huh. It was pretty much a Asian hip hop festival and it was fucking amazing.
I gotta stop calling it the Asian festival. I'm like, what's the name of it?
It's the Asian hip hop festival.
Oh, okay. I wasn't too far off.
With it's 88 Rising. They called it Head in the Clouds because that's the name of the album that the label released. Like it was like a posse album. And I got to see Joji as well as a lot of other awesome fucking Asian acts like Keith Ape from Korea, Higher Brothers from China, fucking Rich Brian from Indonesia.
Angel, by the way, loves Asian hip hop.
Yeah, it's that's fucking his bread amazing. And butter. It is fantastic. And then my fucking boy Ko, all the way from Japan, came out, and I've been listening to Ko for fucking.
How do you spell that?
K O H H.
Okay.
Fucking blew my mind. This dude went hard, went harder than anyone else, and I fucking loved it. And I was like, holy shit, straight out of Tokyo. He's right here. I can't believe it. I never in my life thought I would see any of these people live because I'm like, they're in fucking China. They're in Japan. Like, when the fuck am I going to see these fools? And I did. And I felt so blessed. So go check out everyone on the 88 Rising label. But specifically, I'm fucking with Joji super hard right now.
Hell yeah. Yeah, Angel sent me that video. He's like, here, check this out. I feel like you would really enjoy it. And I was like,
what did you think when you first saw it?
I loved it. I had the song already, but I had not seen the video. Okay. When you showed me the video, I was watching it. I'm like, this is interesting. Like, I wonder why he looks in pain. And then when they kind of show you like the reveal of like the lower half, I was like, I was like, this is weird, but I love it. Yeah. And I love the visual of like him on like that like floor, like that like, I guess like a dance floor kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And he's like bleeding. It's like, I love that. Like, I don't even need to know what the source of that pain is, but I love the visual of it. It looks great. It reminded me a lot of Kill Bill.
The fucking blue. I can't get over that shade of blue that they use in the whole thing.
Yeah, it's great.
I'm like, wow, that's a good
Thank you for the recommendation, by the way. I really appreciate what you said.
You're welcome, you as well as everyone else. Throw the ball's in your court now.
Everybody knows at this point, or most people know, the true fans know that I have a hard on for Omar Apollo right now. Someone shout out another song of his.
Oh, dang.
He's got a song.
Got a little crush on
him. I love Omar Apollo.
Little Omar boy.
We're going to see him in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah. Right Jonathan and, Justin Jimenez.
Is that right? You can speak. Speak now.
Yeah.
Woo!
I will. I'll shout. We'll I'm, shout that out.
And later. I'm gonna put it into the universe right now. In that show, we're gonna interview him.
He's gonna kiss him.
I will try to sneak a kiss, but we're gonna interview that dude.
You want to interview him at the show?
Well, after or before, but we're gonna interview him in that like time period.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Well, okay, we're putting it out.
Working
there.
On it.
We'll see.
Working on it. Anyway, fucking Omar Apollo is talented as fuck. He's our brown Justin Timberlake, and I'm so proud that I can actually say something like that. And he's got a song. Yeah. He's got a song for a movie called Skate Kitchen with Jaden Smith, and it's a skater movie, and it's yet to come out. He's got a song though called Today. And bro, it's like,
how do you feel when you hear it?
It's like I'm not a skater, but I swear to God, I was like, I want to buy a skateboard, listen to this song, and just fucking like just cruise around like the neighborhood and like just listen to, because I'm like, Omar Apollo, like this, like, okay. Every I think people would criticize me for saying this, but most like current like modern musicians, brown musicians, have Cuco to thank for paving the way, right? This is really truly the house that Cuco built. People would disagree. It's really the house that Cuco built. But Ooh. I think Omar Apollo is fucking taking that house to the next level. Damn. Like it's like this is Cuco's foundation, but Omar Apollo is like elevating us to the fucking skies. He's like, and the thing is, he's just like, it's, and I could tell that he's not trying to do that. He's just making great fucking music, and he just happens to have impeccable taste. Listen to the song. I'm a little bit of a fan. I should actually say the name of the song. It's called Today by Omar Apollo, and it's on the Skate Kitchen soundtrack.
You said that already.
And his vocal is great. It's just like, it's so seamless with him, and I love the song. And I have the whole album. That's actually really good. It's like a compilation with like Claro's on it, fucking Jaden Smith's on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's again, Omar Apollo is like my fucking dude right now. He's like the greatest living brown artist that I'm in love with right now. He's my boy.
Wow.
Throwing it back to you.
There's a lot of brown musicians that are alive right now.
Yeah. There are.
Cardi B's alive.
She is.
Who else?
Chicano Batman's alive?
yeah, the Chicano Batman, that one guy.
Yeah. But I love Omar Apollo. Well, Omar Apollo, again, I love...
No, I'm stopping. I don't care. I don't want to hear it anymore. Right. You've gushed enough.
I love all our people. I love all of our brown musicians, like, dearly. Him. But Omar Apollo is, like, my dude.
He's your spirit animal.
He is my spirit animal of the bunch.
There you go. Okay.
That's how I'll close. Throwing it back to you.
Throwing it back to me. Well, it's funny you should mention the greatest living brown artist, because I think his name's Bad Bunny. Oh my god. Justin is fucking sitting behind me,
throwing his arms up, and everything we're saying.
In the air.
Chambea.
Dude, chambea. Bad Bunny, I don't fucking know what it is, man. I used to really not fuck with him just because I was never really into reggaeton. Mm. I kind of didn't like him as a person. Yeah. I thought he was kind of dumb. But after listening to a couple interviews, after hearing his music, and especially after seeing his Jimmy Fallon performance, I was just like, this guy's all right. This guy's more than all
right. He's down with it.
Yeah, he's just so... He's fucking cool. And he's just... His music video for Estamos Bien, it's just all like stuff he filmed like with his homies. And he just looks like such a... He just looks like such a carefree dude. He's not like... I mean, obviously he's got like nice clothes and cool cars, but he just looks like he's living life. And he doesn't give a fuck. And I think I gravitate a lot towards him the same reason I gravitate a lot towards Cardi B. Because they all got a lot of haters.
Mm.
And they don't let that shit get to them. They're just like, fuck you. Like, you hate me, but you still listen.
Mm.
You're still on my page commenting. Like, you're still fucking with me, even if you say you're not fucking with me. And I think that's something I haven't really seen before. And it's just like, it inspires me, because it's like, I don't know if I can take all that hate and not let it get to me. Like, I feel like if I had as much hate as Cardi and Bad Bunny get, I'd super succumb to that whole negativity and just be like, fuck, maybe I'm not good.
Mm.
Like, these folks just take that shit in and they're like, I'm fucking dope. I don't give a fuck. Like, I'm gonna keep doing me, and because I know there's people that fuck with me and like what I do and like what I make. And that's all that matters. And fucking shake off the haters.
Shake him off.
Estamos bien.
Estamos bien.
Yeah, dude.
Not, damn. I
Bad Bunny.
You sold me on Bad Bunny.
I'm still petitioning for Bad Bunny to replace Morrissey as Tropicália.
Really?
That's not going to happen unless Justin helps me find
that him. Makes more sense to me.
Yeah, I'm like,
why Morrissey? Fucking, like, yeah. For as much as I love this, like, the Smiths music, like, I don't get why they had him in the first place.
Because he means a lot to a lot of Latino kids, but
that's true.
He's a fucking old racist white man, so. Oh, well. He is. Passing it back to you, Chris. Bad Bunny.
Bad Bunny. I've listened to lots of albums this year, albums that have impacted me, albums that I've loved, but I realized like when we do these recommendations, I'm always trying to pick like the most current thing that I'm listening to. And while that kind of is the prompt, I want to give a highlight that I have not had a chance yet to give to an album that like really not saved me, but really just comforted me this year. And that's Virtue by The Voids. So
don't you have that that album? No, you have. Do you have an album or do you have the poster of it? I think
it's I have the album and the poster signed. Okay. Yeah, by Julian and company. So that's Julian Casablancas' band. And why that album is in particular is pretty important to me. I used to say this is their best album, but after I've kind of like listened to it, I'm like, no, I think their first album is still their best. Tyranny. But why that album is so important to me is because we're going to go back to this, but the night of my breakup,
of course,
no, right. But the night of my breakup, they dropped their first single. And I remember specifically, I was in my mom's bed and I was like my lowest point. And I was like, kind of just like, she was comforting me and I was just crying. And then my brother, Brandon, shout out to Brando. He comes in. Totally unaware. He's like, yo, Chris, The Voids just dropped a new song. I'm like, oh, really? He's like, yeah, you want to hear it in my mind? I'm like, no, because I'm going to associate this with the song. He's like, check it out. And then he plays Leave It In My Dreams, the opening track to the album. And I'm listening to it. And I'm like partially happy that The Voids are making music again and that the album's going to drop. But like I'm destroyed inside. And then they start dropping more singles up until the album's release in March. And I was just like, and it, you know, I had like a whole combination of emotions. And why I decided to hide this album is because recently I listened to the whole thing again. And we talked about how like you, at least you in particular, you can still connect certain memories with. And I listened to that album and I picked up on your experience a little bit. Also because I'm still kind of fresh from being away from that experience in particular. But when I hear Leave It In My Dreams now, it's more like, oh man, I remember how bad I was when I heard this song. But when I was listening to it, I'm like, I can still though enjoy it for just being a great song. And I'm like, but I can like at the moment I can enjoy it, but there's still like that hint of like sadness that I recall because it happened this year and it's so fresh. And I just remember like, man, like this song used to really hurt me, like to the point where like I was such a mixed bottle of emotions at the time that like when I would sing it in the months after that night, I would sing it with happiness. But then at the end, because Julian has a line where he goes, "Don't call me stupid," I would like scream it in the car, like "Don't call me stupid," and like it was like
I'm not stupid.
And it was like a really emotional, like messy thing for me. And like I'm just like now when I sing that part, I just sing it like at peace. And that's why I want to highlight it, just because it's like, you know, people talk about how like, oh man, I can't listen to this song anymore because it reminds me of this person. It's like, but with the work I've been able to put in myself, you know, I'm no one special. As much as I like to present myself as such, I'm just a regular person like everybody else. And if someone that puts enough work into trying to avoid and like disconnect myself from a very traumatic situation and can still enjoy music that at one point meant something like really painful to me, it's like everybody else can do it too. And that to me, like why I love that album is because it's like this album came when I needed it the most. It really rescued me, because I will close my thought on this album with one thing. Brandon told me, he's like, you know what I like to think about? Sorry. You know what I like to think about whenever like I get upset or disappointed by things? He's like, think of like music, how that's never gonna leave you. He's like,
Music's never going to leave you. He's like, people will leave you, friends will leave you. He's like, but you're always going to have that song. You're always going to have that album. That's never going to go away. And I was like, damn, bro. I was like,
that's true.
I'm like, that's true. Like, this album's never going to leave me. And for whatever it meant to me at this specific time, I'm happy that this time next year, I'm going to be able to listen to that whole album and not even like the situation that it reminded me of, it's not even going to like cross my mind. I'm just going to be able to enjoy it for the music that it is. So, and plus, The Voice is just a dope band. And I love Julian Casablancas. So, check out Virtue. Throwing it back to you.
I kind of want to end it there. That was like really nice. I feel like what I would say, I don't really have like a closer. Mm. And that like that felt like a closing thing. I'll save my I don't really have any good recommendations. Like I've been so busy with like schoolwork and fucking, I've been watching a lot of Seinfeld. Mm-hmm. And I've already talked about Seinfeld. I literally just put the shit on and it's on all day.
Mm-hmm.
But I really like that. I like the fact of trying to like move on from a song that you've associated with like bad memories. And we've talked about how like that shit happened to me, middle school, high school, different phases of my life where like a song would be so attached to this like traumatic event that I can't hear it without being thrown back. And even just like not even traumatic things, like every time I listen to this band, We Were Promised Jetpacks, their first album, I think it's called like something about walls, These Four Walls or something like that, I think back to the bus ride I took from LA to Berkeley when I went to go visit my friend Joel, and like I heard that album on the way over there. So every time I hear that album, I think of the Bay Area. And so it's like, you can sometimes that shit just happens and you just attach it to things. And thankfully I've never really attached something to a breakup, because as you fellow listeners know, I've never really had a relationship, so I've never really had to get over anybody. But I have, like I've said before, I have attached the Death Cab for Cutie album to a certain memories. Death Cab for, and I still listen to Death Cab for Cutie, and I'm just like, she's fucking me up, bro. But let's close it by saying, let's close it by saying something like, I don't know, what's one final sentence after like listening to that song that you like, what's that fucking cathartic moment you had? Sum it up in one sentence and take your time if you want to think about it, like form it into one sentence. I'm gonna keep saying one sentence. Please make it one sentence.
All right, so I'm gonna close with a line. There's a lot, like this whole song, Leave It In My Dreams, like there's a part where they say,
didn't I say one sentence?
Right. I will end with the sentence, but I will say there's like parts where it's like searching for meaning and a combination of notes, don't overthink it. And I'm known for being an overthinker, but the one line that when I heard it, I'm like, yo, like this is about me, is this one right here. I'll never let it bother me. It's not my style.
Boom. There you have it, folks. I told Chris to sum it up in one sentence.
And I summed it up in a paragraph.
You know
and
me.
And I think that's the perfect description of the Us Podcast, which we are now wrapping up the episode.
Woo!
As always, thanks so much for listening to me and Chris, even when we're a little annoying, even when we ramble on a little too long, and when we scream very loud into the mic sometimes. As always, my name is Angel Salinas.
And I'm Chris Carmona.
And this was the Us Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in, guys. Goodbye.
Bye.
Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for checking out the Us Podcast.
You can follow us on our Instagram at Us Podcast.
You can also follow us on our personal Instagrams. I am at AngelISalinas_.
And you can follow me at the Chris Carmona.
Follow us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcast from. Write us a review.
Please. That helps us out so much.
Say some nice things. Say some maybe not so nice things. Go ahead and tell us. Please.
Please.
All right. Bye.
They put it pretty good.